I am grateful to have known Kenneth in a variety of moments over the last 10 years. I came here about 10 years ago as an intern pastor, and interns are supposed to have a little project to do, and mine was introducing contemporary worship to a very traditional church. And it went so well, I think we had about 9 people come. And we didn't have a praise team then, we didn't have staffed musicians, so I was the worship team. And I got up with my acoustic guitar and did one song, and then Kim Morgan, who was singing before, said, I'd be willing to help out a little with the music if you'd like. And thank God. And but Kenneth and Chris were there every time. And the catch was, it wasn't one of those, are we going to go to the traditional service or the contemporary service sort of pieces. It was, they came at 8 o'clock to go to choir rehearsal, and they came at 9 o'clock to the traditional service. Then they taught Sunday school at 10:15 or whatever it was then. And then they came to the contemporary service. And I remember thinking, what sort of person spends a full long day at church? And when I came back as pastor, I still remember my first Sunday here when we're doing the handshaking thing at the door. Kenneth said, I just want you to know that I got up an hour early this morning so I could spend an hour praying for you and your pastorate here. And I remembered thinking, what kind of person can pray for one person for an hour? I can't do that, and I'm a pastor. And I remember singing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, one of those good Baptist hymns we sneak into the Lutheran church. And he's up there in the choir loft, leaning. What kind of person dances in a Lutheran church? Goodness gracious. And there's just all these moments that come to mind. Kenneth and Chris bringing Christmas gifts to my girls. Our Christmas shopping list is long enough. We don't go around trying to invent people to put on the list. But they did and came to our living room and sat down. And I said, Kenneth, you want something to drink? He said, no, I'm good. Kenneth, you want a beer? Yeah, get me one. probably shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. I remember Tori's wedding and just the pride on his face as he walked his Cinderella doll from Disney World down the aisle and then got to see his grandboys baptized and got to spend so much time with you. And we did a Bible study a little while ago, and we went around and did introductions. Just say your name and something about you. And, you know, people say, my name's Robert, and I like to golf. My name's Barbara, and I like to garden. And when it was Kenneth's turn, he said, my name is Kenneth Gersh, and I love my wife. And she wasn't even there in the room. I thought, what kind of guy says my hobby is I love my wife? And then, I guess another moment needs an explanation. There's a Christian holiday of sorts we celebrate here once a year called Ash Wednesday. I know not everybody does it. But basically the day is that we remember one day a year that God made us out of nothing. And that at the end of our lives, we're going to die. We remember once a year that God gifted us with life out of nothing, He just spoke us into existence, and that we're going to die. And as you could probably guess by the topic, it's one of the most somber services we have. It's one of the most serious services we have. And there's actually a point in the service when we invite everybody to kind of walk up and cycle through. And the pastor puts ash on people's foreheads while we say, "Remember that you are dust. Remember that God made you out of nothing. And remember that to dust you shall return." Right? There's this moment. And it's pretty serious and it's pretty dark because, I remember Mr. Hannes putting the ashes on his forehead and saying, you know, this is the last time probably. And I remember Bertie Sigmund, this is probably the last time. And there's been a lot of other times I was completely wrong, right? Because we've had funerals for 2-year-olds and we've had funerals for 30-year-olds. And there's a lot of people that it's somebody crosses the center line or whatever, and here we are. It's a serious sort of service. And to be honest, I kind of hate it because, like probably most of you, we don't like to think about dying. And, I don't like putting ashes on my forehead of my little girls and saying, you know, you're going to die. It's a serious service. Babies don't cry. Sick people don't sneeze. It's a serious service. And yet when Kenneth Gersh came down the aisle, there's a quirky moment of the service where those who are blessed with hair and have bangs or long hair, kind of, they're nice to the pastor. They do this thing where you kind of like pull your hair back. So when the pastor puts ash on your forehead, it's easier. And honest to God, Kenneth Gersh came down the center aisle with his big, shining, bald head and did this. and I started laughing, and he started laughing even harder, and Ryan or whoever else was up here started laughing. And, everybody in the back is kind of tearful, praying about their sins or something. And we're up front having a pretty good laugh. And I remember thinking, what kind of person makes the church laugh on Ash Wednesday? A couple months ago, I believe, Kenneth Gersh came to my office and asked if I had time to meet with him. And he's a busy guy, so time is valuable. I only work 1 hour a week, so it's great. I have a lot of free time. But he asked if he could meet with me, and I said, sure, I got nothing to do till Sunday. So he came and he sat down, though, and he was planning on attending a funeral. And he didn't know, it wasn't like a funeral. He wasn't sure kind of exactly what it was going to be like, if it was going to be, share a few memories and have a toast to good old Bud or whatever his name was, or if it was going to be like a funeral. And he was the chairperson of evangelism here for a long time. And his hope and the reason he came to meet with me was that he wanted to be able to get to a place where he could say something to those at the assembly, to those gathered at the funeral, in an effort just to draw them a step closer to the Lord. And so he met with me twice, a good hour, I think, the first time, and just to kind of try to talk through a layman who wants to go to a funeral and say something, inviting people to step closer to the Lord. That reading we just had is harsh. I don't like it. You probably didn't like it. But it's true that there's going to be a judgment, and we'll be judged on our faith in the Lord. And Kenneth had a heart for those who didn't know the Lord and wanted to somehow invite them to step closer. And I was so excited for him. I was pumped. This is like, a football coach seeing a kid he coached in flag football going to the pro level or something. Like, you know, he pastor gets excited. And I was so excited on Sunday to talk to him and find out how his talk went. And when I saw him on Sunday, so how'd it go, right? And he said he didn't get an opportunity to speak. And I wondered why on earth God would lay it on his heart to get to a point to make sure he'd be able to at least invite people who didn't know the Lord to step closer to him. Why would God lead him to that point and then not give him an opportunity to speak? And the only answer I have is today. Kenneth yearned to see the church full, and it is. And everybody's on a spiritual journey, and he yearned for people who, a lot of you, I'm sure, are hardcore, lifelong Christians, could hear it in your singing. But, you know, others aren't, and he yearned for this to be a place to grow. And so today, if you're baptized Christian, great. You can take a break for a couple minutes and check Facebook or something. But if you're not a Christian or you're not baptized, I would just like to speak to you a moment because I think that's what those last meetings were about. And can I just say a couple things that you know? You know that when you look at the stars at night, or when you stand on a beach and listen to the roar of the ocean, you know this life isn't an accident. You were taught that, but you know it's not true. You don't look at a masterpiece painting and say, oh, it looks like somebody just kicked a couple cans of paint and happened to fall into mountains and clouds. You know that's not true. And you know when you look at people, right? When you look at a sweet little boy or a beautiful elderly person or somebody in between, when you look at a person, you know in your hearts they're not an overgrown ape. You know that's a load. You know it's a lie. And you know when you think about the purpose of your life and the fact that you have this life, but you know you're going to die too, right? We're all going to die. And when you look around at creation and planets spinning and flowers blooming and children running around after a soccer ball and half of them are off chasing a butterfly, you know this all isn't just an accident that's washing away when you die. You know there's way more to it than that. And the Christian conviction is that God made all of this. The masterpiece of the most creative mind in the realm. And that God made you with intention and love and care, and you are not an accident, and your life is not meaningless, but you are deeply beloved by your Heavenly Father. In this realm of toil and snares, we sang, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Nobody. But God does. He does. And so much so that he'd rather go through the hell of the cross than that you spend your life not knowing him. Because at the end of our lives, we're going to be judged on our faith. Not everybody believes that anymore. I know. There's this attitude in our culture that, well, everybody's just going to end up in heaven and everybody will be hunky-dory, but that's not the Christian teaching. That's not the biblical Christian teaching. If you're at a church that teaches it, run in the other direction. It's not the teaching of Christianity. It's not the teaching of Islam, Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism. Nobody teaches that. It's a wistful dream, but it's not true. The Christian conviction is that when we die, we're going to be judged on our faith in the Lord. And we say every Sunday there's a baptism. Mark 16, Jesus says, those who believe and are baptized, those who are washed in the water of the Lord, you'll be saved. And those who do not believe will be condemned. And so this today, it's kind of weird. It's a funeral, I know. But if you haven't been baptized, and there's just a tiny little burning wick of faith in your heart, and you want to believe, and you want to grow in the Lord, and you want to hear what Kenneth hears, well done, good and faithful servant. I invite you to come forward during this next hymn and be baptized. I'm going to put some water on your head and say a prayer. But if that happens, I want every step you take to the front of the church be a step away from where you were and a step closer to the Lord. And it's not about the other people in the room. It's not about the people down the pew from you. It's not about wondering what other people think. It's between you and God. And I'm grateful to have known Kenneth. And one thing he had that I think would be his distinctive characteristic is the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It says in Scripture, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And not everybody has a lot of joy. And so if you need more joy, come forward and be baptized. If you're already all good, please rise and sing.